The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You're very welcome this morning to our service, first Sunday of Advent. It's the beginning of our new church year, and it's a very special time. And we're very privileged this morning. Gillian is going to be leading our service this morning, so that's always a good thing. I have a few notices. Basically, they are what they are. They've been running through the screen, and you all know what's happening. There's a few extra ones, which are over there. I knew there was something. We've got a few things that are not the norm. Thursday at 7:30 p.m., we've got the first of our Advent Thursday night meetings, and it's about the generosity of God. And the format on those Thursday nights will be a video that's been created by the diocese, and then a short reflection after that. It will be set within a late evening office, which is a beautiful format for a service. I love the late evening office. Some dates for your diary. Next week, of course, we've got Holy Communion, 9 a.m., morning prayer at 11, and evening prayer at 7 p.m. Looking further forward, Tuesday the 29th of November at 7:30 p.m., we have a divine healing service here. And even further forward, on Tuesday the 6th of December at 7:30 p.m., we have Dr. Stephen Rogers, who will be coming to speak in the hall, and he is going to be speaking about managing stress from a personal and a pastoral perspective. And he's going to bring medical and pastoral insight into that, which will be a very good night. One last thing, the bishop's appeal. There are envelopes just in front of you or somewhere near you. And the bishop's appeal is something that is ongoing and happens annually. The money that comes in is divided between projects for refugees in Lebanon and a project in Honduras. And we also have got ongoing support that's going to Ukrainians, and particularly Ukrainian funds here in Ireland. And during Lent, there was a big bishop's bike ride, and the bishop's appeal seeks to match any giving that was handed in at that time. So it's a beautiful thing, and it's something that's going to be supporting a lot of people. But here we are in Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. And before we sing our opening hymn, I'm going to introduce what Advent is, what it means to us as a church. And while I read this and we prepare to light our first candle, I've got two helpers who are going to come up, and they're going to do a great job for us. As we light the candles in our Advent wreath, we remember the preparations which God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. We remember how God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, and told them of the Messiah who was to come. Abraham was promised that through his descendants all the world would be blessed. Isaac was told, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Moses looked forward to the one who would be raised up to take his place as the leader of the people. And David knew that a king would follow him who would reign forever. Our first candle will be lit. As we light this first candle, we remember Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David. And like them, we look forward to the coming of the Messiah. Amen. That was brilliant, boys. Our opening hymn is "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Thank you.
the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, on this Advent Sunday, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The psalm appointed for this morning's service teaches us to look forward to worshiping together, to coming to the house of the Lord. We stand to read Psalm 122. I was glad
when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is at unity in itself. Thither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as is decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there are set the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. O pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and tranquility within your palaces. For my kindred and companions' sake, I will pray that peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, and starting at verse 1. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. As chief among the mountains, it will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. At this point in our service, the young people leave for the hall, and we wish them well as they go. We sing our next hymn, "May the Mind of Christ My Savior."
Our New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to Romans, chapter 13, and starting at verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And in response to our reading, we stand now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, Advent Sunday. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn has brought great comfort to so many people over the years. We sing, "Oh, for a closer walk with God."
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, this Advent, draw us closer to you, closer to your Son, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take your seats. Advent is a task of multitasking. Now, I personally don't believe that there's such a thing as multitasking. I think that what people say is multitasking is maybe doing three things kind of not as good as we could be doing them. But I'm told that that's just because I'm male and because I'm not very good at things. But that was necessary. So someone said correct, and it was completely unnecessary. But it's okay, I'll stick with it, I'll stay. Advent is multitasking. We've got to have our fingers on three points in history all at once. We point out one moment in history when Jesus came to earth and was born as a human baby. One historic moment. We note another moment in history that comes in just a few days, December 25th, 2022, when we celebrate that moment. And that is in our future. We're not there yet, but we're looking forward to this coming Christmas Day. And then the third moment in history that we have in mind all at the same time is an unknown date in the future. It could be close, it could be far away, it could be within our lifetime, it could be in our children's lifetime. But it's the second coming of Christ. And Advent reminds us that all of life is an Advent, looking forward and waiting for that time when Christ comes and all things are made new. And our reading today from Romans 13 was the words of Paul, and Paul was saying that as we wait, and as we wait in relationship with one another and with God, we are to put on Christ. And so that's what he said. Clothe yourselves in Christ. I will clothe myself in Christ. What else is there to say about that? Should we just wrap things up and move to the prayers? It's easier said than done. But the phrase, to clothe yourself in Christ, it's like lots of other phrases that we have. We have phrases like, get a grip, catch yourself on. All these things that we say, we know what they mean, but we never really dig down and explain them. They are the phrases of our culture. And in the church, we've got phrases of our culture. Clothe yourself in Christ is one of them. But we never really discuss, or maybe not as often as we should do we discuss what it actually means to put on Christ or to clothe yourself in Christ. So to help us this morning, let me tell you about a friend of mine called Mick. It's not his real name. For his privacy's sake, I'm calling him Mick. Mick is in his 20s. He works hard and he plays pretty hard too. He still lives at home because the economy is what the economy is. And he likes spending time with his family that he lives with. He also likes spending time on his own. He still plays computer games. He likes talking with his friends on the phone. If you would ask him what he prefers, time on his own or time with his family, he would politely move the conversation on. Mick became a Christian when he was 18. He realized that whatever he tried to do in his own power to become a good person, a truly good inside and out, wasn't really working. He knew he was often selfish. He cursed like a sailor on leave, and like his friends, he would enjoy a couple of pints and more. He was told that God loved him as he was, and this filled Mick with a sense of relief and gratefulness. He said to God he wanted to stop trying to fix himself and to give himself into God's hands instead. He wanted God to make him more like Jesus through the work and actions of the Holy Spirit. So if we were to jump to Paul's language in Romans, what Paul would say is that at that moment, Mick died to himself. He stopped putting his own efforts first, and he began a new life. In fact, Paul would say, Christ now lived in Mick. When God looked at Mick, even though Mick's not perfect, God would regard Mick as righteous. He would say, Mick, you're right with me. And nothing could or can separate him from the love of God. Now, over the next few years, Mick grew to love Jesus more and more. He read the Bible quite a lot, and he reckoned it was important to know as much about what Jesus said and did as he could. He still liked Netflix, the Xbox, and his usual games. Some days he knew that he should be getting out of himself more and helping his family and his neighbors more in their lives. But the habits, those very introverted habits he was in, always won the day. And even though he knew that he should be doing other things, he found it hard to step past the habits of his mind and the habits of his body. But Mick still put a lot of thought into this, and he realized that he needed to push himself a bit. He saw that while God's love was never earned, the relationship with God and with others did need work. He made himself just do really simple things, like doing the dishes, taking out the bins, looking at his family members and saying, how are you? And spending time with them, even though he wanted to spend time with himself. As he did these things and thought about these things, Paul would say that he was being transformed by the renewing of his mind. And God helped him get stronger at this. So Mick continued to think a lot about Jesus and talk to Jesus. He gave time to it and he thought about his actions. He still liked his own me time, but he grew in his ability to show his love through his actions to his family. He never really consciously thought about his habit of cursing like a sailor. And if he was honest, he never really felt bad about that in the same way as he felt bad about ignoring his family. He still liked to go out for a pint or two, but he found in retrospect that he'd curbed that a bit because it took away from his ability to love those around him. This thinking and speaking to Jesus, this changing some things on purpose and seeing other changes come naturally, is like slowly taking off an old way of being and putting on a new way. Mick is clothing himself in Christ, and Christ is helping him get dressed. So if you are in the house with toddlers, and we mustn't take offense at this, because let's compare, if we were to compare ourselves with God or with Jesus, I think it's fair that we can call ourselves children. If we were to be in a house with children and we said, come and put your coat on, and the child comes up, there's an age and stage where we will be wrestling a child into a coat, shoving the arms in, and the child is kicking and screaming, and then at the end we say, well done for putting your coat on. They didn't do any such thing. And then as the child matures and they get better at some things, they need less help in some areas, more help in other areas, and we still say, well done for putting your coat on. But it's good for us to think of that relationship with a parent as similar to our relationship with Jesus. There are some things that are more natural for us than we do ourselves. There are other things that Jesus with us will do for us. It's quite hard sometimes to tell which is which. But when we talk about being clothed in Christ, it's something that we are involved in, but is done by Christ. And when we're clothed in Christ, it's not like these robes. My robes are a cover. They're supposed to cover me and hide what I'm wearing underneath. The idea is that when you look at me, you see the church and not Andy. That's the theory. But I could be wearing who knows what underneath here. You'll never know. And this is just a covering. It's not real. When you're clothed in Christ, it is real. It's something that happens inside and out. It's more real than anything else we could know. In today's reading, Paul said we were to take off some of the old ways of doing things, the things that hurt ourselves and others, and then we're to put on Christ. Christ, the one who loves God the Father and loves us. And we do this by giving our time and on purpose attention as we speak to Jesus, read about Jesus, speak about Jesus, which isn't always easy to do, and think on purpose about what we do. And if we see things that we think are not loving, we ask for Jesus' help and we make moves to do differently. Paul says we'll never get it completely right. Now, I mentioned that Mick and his language, some people might have an issue with his language. Mick, you shouldn't be speaking like that if you're a Christian. Other people, it doesn't bother them so much. Now, maybe that's not the hill that we want to die on when it comes to our Christian life. But that's part of the relationship with Christ, that he molds us and he moves us, and we have to be respectful of one another as Christ moves and molds each other. So, as I say, Paul says we'll never get it completely right as we renew our minds with Jesus. But while we're in this process, we are loved, and we will never be separated from God. That never changes. So I wonder if we could take a moment now to speak to Jesus in our own hearts, in our own minds, and tell him what we think about these ideas that have come up this morning, and ask him, Lord Jesus, please carry on. Clothe me in yourself. And if this is anything you want to speak about further with the rector or myself or Gillian, or you know the people, there'll be people around you you know would love to speak with you about it. If this is anything you want to talk about, bring it up. You'll never get turned away from a conversation. So let's take a quiet moment, bring ourselves to our Lord Jesus, and then we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we sit here and bring ourselves to you today, make us more like your Son. Clothe us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask that you do this by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And as we continue to pray this morning on this first Sunday of Advent, we pray to the God of all time and space, past, present, and future. We pray to God in whose love we exist and by whose love we are saved. As we prepare ourselves for the time when Christ comes again in glory, we pray for the grace and honesty to see what needs transforming in our lives as individuals and as members of the Church of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. May all church leaders, pastors, and teachers be directed, inspired, and upheld by the living Spirit of God. And may there be a deepening of love and commitment in all in this church and the church world over. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May the leaders of this nation and of all nations be drawn increasingly to understand God's way of justice and righteousness, and be filled with longing to do what is right and honest and good. May all the families on earth be blessed with mutual love and caring, consideration of one another. May arguments and misunderstandings be properly resolved, and difficult relationships refreshed and healed. And while we think that this might be too much to ask, we remember that you are the Creator God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May those for whom the days and nights go past in pain or sorrow be given comfort and hope. May the frightened find reassurance. May the anxious find peace of mind. May those who mourn be comforted. And may those who are frightened of what's to come be given your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, may those who have reached the point of death be given the knowledge of your love and closeness on that last journey. And in Advent and Christmas especially, we think of those who have died. And thank you that they know the eternal peace and joy of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our next hymn expresses our longing for God. We sing, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding this Advent season, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who wishes to clothe us with himself. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is How Lovely on the Mountain Are the Feet of Him.